Cantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Deadly Match by Kishan Paul, narrated by Shiromi Arserio. Prologue. Sweat glued Raz's denim-clad ass to the plastic yard chair he sat on. Positioned in front of a little outdoor cafe in a western suburb of Mumbai, the afternoon summer sun was cooking him alive. He shifted in his seat and pulled his shirt away from his slick skin while scanning the perimeter. Hidden in the chaos of heat, smells, sounds, cars, and humans was the one person he waited for. Although the identity of the person was a mystery, the importance of the meeting was crystal. Moisture from his forehead formed streaks down the polycarbonate lens of his glasses. It wasn't the heat alone that tormented him. Located in the middle of one of the city's busiest shopping centers, the oversaturation of sounds and smells exacerbated the pulsing in his temples. "Clean your lens," the voice in his ear ordered. "What's the point?" he grumbled and slipped them off. He wiped his forehead while muttering a stream of curses under his breath. Perspiration oozed from parts of him he never realized perspired. He cleaned the smudges and droplets off the glass, raising the frames over his head to ensure they were spotless before returning them to their rightful spot on his nose. Not that they helped his sight in any way. He had perfect 20/20 vision. The purpose of the overpriced glasses was to aid the other members of his team to see what he saw. One of those members sat miles away, surrounded by computer screens monitoring every face and movement within a 10-mile perimeter of the meeting point. He sucked in a lungful of the blistering air and grimaced. The heavy heat had a way of cooking the city's individual odors into one powerfully thick, smoky, and overwhelming concoction. The pungent aroma made every breath he took more painful than the one before. In this case, the mixture was a combination of the scents of savory dishes, cooking from nearby restaurants, and the fumes from local factories, and the diesel and gasoline exhaust from the vehicles swarming around the city. Roz pressed on one of the tiny screws that secured the glasses to the lens. A second later, a click echoed in his ear.
"Comms check," he mumbled while shifting in his seat. "Hearing you loud and clear. And by the way, it's a lovely 26 degrees Celsius here,"
Sai replied.
"Asshole,"
Roz muttered, and wiped sweat off the back of his neck. The asshole's laughter reverberated in his ear, easing some of the tightness in Roz's muscles.
"Check," Moose announced. "And affirmative, he is an asshole."
Roz assessed the business complex across the street. He couldn't see him, but perched on its roof with his rifle aimed directly at him was their best sniper.
"Check,"
Ari chimed in. Roz had spotted him earlier. Disguised as a local, he wandered through the street, pretending to check out shoes at a nearby stall. Vehicles of all forms, cars, auto rickshaws, trucks and motorcycles moved through the congested intersection and weaving through the mess of traffic were people. Like ants, Mumbikers scurried around the vehicles and made their way to and from the center's walkways. Horns blared. Pedestrians yelled at the drivers who honked and cursed back for blocking their paths. Others chatted either with those beside them or to their cell phones. Vendors positioned their portable stalls laden with goods up and down the street and called out to passersby, hoping to entice them to check out their merchandise. There were eyes everywhere, all of them on high alert, waiting for the meat to go down.
"Check."
Boss, the man who wore 100 masks. Their leader, trainer. He directed their missions and made sure no one died.
"Ditto. And enjoy the AC. Retribution will be painful."
He glanced through the glass wall of the cafe at the individual making the threat. Dressed in drag, the operative carried a tray with cups of coffee to waiting customers. Every ceiling fan inside circulated on high, and still the armpits of his white blouse were dark with perspiration.
"Have any of you ever noticed what a nice ass Tay has?"
Ari's question had Roz scanning the curve of their drag queen's hips,
who currently leaned over to place drinks on the table.
Nope. I was too busy checking out his breasts.
Moose deadpanned.
Fuck you,
Tay growled as he made his way to the kitchen. Roz hid his laugh under a cough and tapped his nails against the table. One person hadn't checked in yet. The last Roz had seen him, he was wandering around the back parking lot, pretending to be on the phone.
Were your lot all clear?
And there was Ohm. After a few more inappropriate assessments of Tay's assets, the feed went quiet. He checked the time. The unknown should become known any second.
Roz.
He picked up his coffee and waited for Boss to continue.
At least try to look like you don't have a stick up your ass.
He ignored the chuckles from the others, nodded, and took a leisurely sip of the overly sweetened drink, trying to follow the directive. Boss was right. He needed to cool it. Considering all the cases he'd worked in one capacity or another, nerves shouldn't have been an issue. But this one differed for a shitload of reasons. The weight of the world rested on his shoulders. Okay, maybe not the world, but the life of one kid did.
Suspicious black BMW pulling up to the back driveway of the jewelry store.
His pulse quickened at Ohm's announcement. He lifted his phone from the black and red checkered tablecloth and scrolled through the social media apps.
Sigh, get eyes on it,
Boss ordered.
Already there.
Roz slipped a hand under the long plastic tablecloth, rested it atop the weapon on his thigh, and listened to the chatter.
Male passenger, exiting backseat of vehicle. About 5'8", in jeans, white tee, denim jacket. Gun in the back of his jeans.
Ohm paused in the middle of his commentary.
Fuck,
he mumbled. Roz's hands stilled as silence permeated the comms.
Translation?
Boss hissed.
It's Otto.
Sai answered for the now silent Ohm. Roz stiffened at the mention of the brother he hadn't seen since the day they escaped Saeed's compound.
Repeat,
Boss ordered.
Otto's the fucking target. Turning into the alley between the jewelers and the coffee shop, headed your way.
Irritation prickled along Roz's neck. Otto worked with Wasim? This shouldn't have surprised him, but it did. Boss's mumbled curses filled his ear.
Moose? Locked in,
came the sniper's quipped reply.
And affirmative. It's Otto.
Roz had put the word out that he needed to meet with Wasim. When he got a reply of time and place, he'd hoped the man would show, but figured it would be someone else. Just hadn't figured the someone to be one of his own.
Son of a bitch, Boss hissed. Okay, we have 30 seconds before he makes Roz. You need to decide now if we complete this mission or shut it down.
A valid question, considering for 6 out of 7 of them, the target was someone they called brother. Abandoned by their birth parents, they'd survived the hell of the orphanage together, and then a few more years under their adoptive father Saeed's custody, only to be torn apart and scattered across the globe when he died.
Complete it,
Moose answered first.
Agreed,
Sai affirmed. Ari, Ohm, and Tay's one-word agreements quickly followed. Silence filled the feed while they awaited the final reply.
His.
He stared at the red and black checkered print of the table. Could he do this? Especially if this meant killing one of his own.
Roz?
He pretended to text on his phone and reminded himself of the reason he asked for the job.
In.
As soon as he gave his consent, Boss shot out his next order.
Sai, access all available dash cams. We need to find out who else is in the BMW. Done. One driver. On the phone. No one else. Checking facial recognition and cell phone feeds. Target coming at you,
Moose whispered. To your right in. Roz dropped the cell and gripped the smooth steel of the coffee mug, his attention aimed in the direction Moose indicated.
5.
He lifted his drink with one hand while he shifted his weapon in the direction of the alley where Otto would appear.
4.
He pressed the warm metal to his lips and took a swallow.
3.
The comm went silent and would stay dead unless necessary. Clean-shaven, streaks of red running through his brown hair, and a phone pressed to his ear,
Otto materialized from the alley beside the cement wall of the coffee shop. While he searched the spot for Roz, Roz searched him. The scrawny kid he remembered had filled out and grown taller. When their gazes locked, the target grinned, slipped his cell in his jacket, and made his approach.
Phone, jacket, right pocket. Smartwatch, right wrist. Weapon, left ankle.
Roz mumbled against the lip of his cup before returning the coffee to the table. He leaned back in his chair and grinned up at the man who approached.
Otto, is that you?
Raza, it's good to see you, bye. It's been too long.
Otto stopped once he was at Raza's side and gave his shoulder a firm squeeze.
Yes.
Raza's chest tightened.
Sit.
He slid the bag off the seat across from him and watched as Otto lowered onto the spot.
I never thought I'd see you again.
He didn't have to feign sincerity.
Fate manages to surprise us sometimes, no?
Otto mused, his eyes glistening with emotion. The two stared at each other, neither speaking. Recollections of a childhood he shared with the man seated across from him flooded Roz, until Boss's cough in his ear reminded him of the purpose of this visit.
Where did they send you after Sayyid Baba's house exploded?
It was a question he already knew the answer to. He'd made it a point to track down all of his brothers in the past year.
Istanbul, Otto confirmed, to live with a general from the Special Forces Command and his lovely but lonely wife. Life wasn't too bad until the general realized I kept his wife and his bed warm when he went off on a mission.
Otto winked.
It was fun while it lasted, though. I heard you didn't fare as well.
Roz tipped his head.
You heard correctly. I wound up in Inshaz with one of the trainers for the Thunderbolt, an Egyptian special unit.
His jaw tightened. He grabbed the empty cup and pretended to take a sip.
Trust me, there was nothing warm about my placement. I ran as fast as I could.
Adil nodded.
And like me, you wound up in Mumbai?
He ran his finger along the rim of the vessel.
No, I'm here for a meeting, one that should be happening any second now.
Roz willed Adil to prove him and the others wrong, to say something indicating his arrival was a coincidence. Instead, his brother laughed and planted his elbows on the table and leaned forward.
Well, wait no more. I am your appointment.
He lifted his brows in feigned surprise.
You're working with Wasim Bai, then?
Yes, and his brother scanned the area before leaning in.
For some reason, he thinks you are trying to kill him.
Me? Roz laughed.
I shared a similar reaction. You're the most loyal person I know. Hell, from what I've heard, you snuck into the States and killed our dear Sarah's husband. What greater proof of loyalty is there?
Roz's grip on his weapon tightened.
But he insists you're untrustworthy. Adil chuckled. Poor guy's a little paranoid. I'm one of the few he trusts. Even then, he refused to let me come. I insisted. You're my brother. You won't hurt me. So here I am.
Although his tone sounded light, from the intensity of his gaze, Wasim wasn't alone in his beliefs.
Here you are.
Roz tipped his chin in Adil's direction.
And you brought a gun or two.
The armed brother in question shrugged and waved at the waitress.
You remember Baba's saying, hope for a stroll, but be ready for a sprint,
the men recited in unison. Adil's eyes filled.
It's been a long time, brother.
Disgust and disappointment squeezed his chest. Sprinkled in with the other two emotions was a heavy dose of guilt. If he'd gotten to him sooner, could he have prevented the current situation?
Why haven't you responded to any of my messages?
Otto shrugged.
Many of us have moved on from our pasts and don't want to go back to the old ways.
Makes sense. Roz leaned back and crossed his arms, studying him.
Kidnapping and imprisoning people tends to keep one busy.
His brother's brows rose.
You've been following up on me.
Not any more than you've been following up on me.
Stay on task, Boss snapped.
He cleared his throat. The man across from him was a target. Something he needed to remember.
I've been searching for all of my brothers, and Wasim Bai for years.
Now you've found us. Tell me, why the urgency to meet Bai?
He slid the empty glass to the side, planted his arms on the table and leaned forward.
Someone important to him needs his help.
I'm en route,
Tay said. Adel mirrored his pose.
What kind of help?
What can I get for you, sir?
Adel jumped at the waitress's question, silencing them both. Roz watched for any indication that Adel recognized the brother hidden under the wig, makeup, and women's attire. The top buttons of Tay's white blouse were unbuttoned, revealing the tops of his prosthetic breasts and the black lace bra which held them in place. When he bent down to slide the tray onto the table, Adel took the opportunity to gaze down their waitress's shirt.
Another coffee, please.
Roz placed his now empty vessel on the silver tray.
And you?
Tay inched closer, fixing his caudal-rimmed eyes on the target and smiled his bright red-stained lips.
I'm hungry,
Adel confessed, while he admired his waitress's cleavage, making his desires clear.
What can you offer me?
The server began a 5-minute lecture, listing off the various baked items from the menu and sharing unnecessary details on how each item was made. At the end of the lengthy speech, the waitress grinned down at Adel, allowing him to answer.
Cold orange soda and the chicken rolls for me and my brother, please.
My treat.
Brother?
Tay planted a manicured hand on each of their shoulders and searched their faces.
I don't see the resemblance.
The two shared a knowing glance.
We are brothers, but not in blood,
Roz explained. After the waitress retreated inside the cafe to get their orders, an awkward silence fell between them.
Buy me time,
Tay's whispered voice filled the feed. Roz pushed his glasses farther up his nose and grinned.
Do you remember how I saved your life?
Otto laughed.
Please, I could have handled Fat Musa Samosa without your help.
Fat Musa Samosa's hissed whisper of curses echoed in his feed, followed by Boss's order for Moose to shut up.
Really? Because what I remember is you wetting your pants, while your bloody nose turned your face and clothes red, screaming for help while he beat the living shit out of you. You'd be dead if I hadn't pulled him off. Why the hell would you call someone as big as him and name in the first place? I don't think he'd have touched you if you just kept your mouth shut.
Adel chuckled and shook his head.
I was an arrogant little shit, wasn't I?
The man's smile vanished.
My asshole of a father had just dropped me off at the orphanage, leaving me two choices. Either kill myself or someone else. Fat Musa Samosa seemed the perfect target. But you botched it up by saving your life,
Roz interjected. And how many times did I have to do that because of you and your nicknames? Adel shook his head. A proud smile stretched across his face.
Those nicknames were golden, except for you. I couldn't come up with a good one for you.
Roz smiled back.
You were an all-around asshole. Remember when you stole Umber's favorite pillow? I did Dama Umba a favor. 8-year-old boys shouldn't be crying all the time, much less needing to hug their favorite pillows when they do.
He kept him talking about their past and their brothers until Tay returned with their order. When he bent over and placed the tray of food on the table, Adel's interest returned to Tay's cleavage. He inched closer, granting him a better visual.
Here are the soda and the chicken rolls you ordered.
Too fixated on the cleavage, Adel hopefully didn't notice Tay returning the cell phone he'd swiped from him when he took his order.
Since the cook just made fresh muffins, I threw a few in just for you two,
he winked, placing the cakes in the center of their table.
Enjoy.
Neither spoke until the waitress disappeared inside the door. Adel took a sip from the straw poking out of the long neck of his orange-bottled cola.
Have you seen any of the others?
Some.
Roz grabbed a muffin from the plate and bit into it. Warm, sweet bread with hints of berry melted on his tongue.
Others like you haven't responded.
He slid the plate toward his brother.
They're good. Reminds me of Alia Mami's cakes. There's a name I haven't heard in years.
Adil searched through the platter of hot bread before selecting one and popping it in his mouth.
Speaking of the mummies, Bai thinks you're buddy-buddy with Sara Irfani.
He grabbed one of the chicken wraps and bit into it as well.
That's not even her real name.
Raz took another nibble of his bread before responding.
I am close to her. She will always be like a mother to me.
Otto wiped the corner of his mouth with a paper napkin.
A mother who killed your adopted father, his wife, his brother, his father, and many more. That's one theory. There are several others. Is that why you're here?
He wadded up the napkin and tossed it on the table before reaching for his soda.
To explain the other theories?
No.
Remember, I didn't know I would see you.
He copied his brother and sipped his coffee.
But even if I did expect you, I know better than to share my theories with you. I came here to meet Wasim Bai, or at least pass along a message.
Adil waved his hand for him to continue.
I need something from him.
His brother grinned.
He is a generous man. Tell me what you need and I will pass it along.
He reached inside his messenger bag, noting the way his brother stiffened at his movement, and pulled out the picture and a narrow white packet, placing them both on the table.
I need him to take a test.
Raza slid the kit across the table.
Everything he needs is in there. All he has to do is rub the cotton tip inside his cheek and mail it back in the envelope. To protect his identity, I registered him as Dinesh Patel. Dinesh Patel.
Adil stared at the package with disdain.
And why would he do this?
He pushed the picture to his brother.
Because it could save this child's life. Or it could be poisonous.
Adil took a long sip of his drink while he stared at the image of a child.
Who is he? That is information Wasim Bai will decide if he wants to share with you.
A lazy grin stretched across his face.
Bai tells me everything.
Raz shrugged.
Apparently not everything.
His response had the intended result. Adil scowled and pushed the image and packet toward him.
I understand him well enough to know he will not risk putting poison in his mouth for a random boy. If I wanted to have him killed, don't you think I'd have come up with a more creative way?
They stared each other down, neither speaking for a beat. Roz broke the staring match and waved his hand at the envelope.
It is not poisonous, just a cotton swab. Everything is clean and untouched. He will put it in the envelope and mail it. They will test Dinesh Patel's sample to see if he can help the child.
Adil steepled his fingers and rested his chin on them.
Why would he risk all he has to help this brat? Give him the picture. He'll fill in the rest.
Raz tapped his finger on the image.
And I assure you he will kill you if you don't.
Adil surveyed him as if trying to read inside his head. Amusing, Raz. He sipped the now lukewarm coffee and waited. Once upon a time, the man across the table looked up to him and considered him a trusted brother. Their loyalty so strong they'd have died for the other and asked questions later. It was sad to see just how easily the bonds of loyalty frayed.
I put my number on the pictures.
Roz leaned back in his chair.
In case he surprises you and wants more information. What guarantee do I have? There is no tracker on it. He has the technology to scan for those things.
Otto picked up the packet and picture, slipping them in his pocket.
I will send it to him, but I assure you the only thing he will want is Sara Irfani's head.
Their eyes locked.
If he is a match, that can be arranged.
Chapter 1. Nadia. Arms crossed, Allie's attention flitted between the 6 monitors affixed to the rear wall of her surveillance room. Tense muscles coiled tighter while she scrutinized the black SUV with dark-tinted windows. It had sat idle in the same spot for the past 10 minutes, right outside her front gates. For the 100th time, she inspected the other screens for additional threats. Each one live-streamed views and angles of the perimeter through cameras strategically placed throughout her 60-plus acres of property. Some flashed aerial views of the apple and pear orchard. Another set displayed a full 360 of her two-story, red-bricked Tudor-style home and of the second smaller fence that encircled the house and lawn. Other cameras focused on her barns and the driveway lined with cherry trees leading up to her home, all of which appeared undisturbed. She dialed into the intercom and cleared her throat before speaking to the receiver of her cell.
"This is Nadia Lane. You are trespassing on my property. Identify yourself or leave."
The silence that greeted her made the sound of her pulse thudding behind her ears seem louder. After several minutes of nothing, she disconnected and pressed 1 on the speed dial. Her orchardist and best friend Leanna, or Lee as she called her, picked up on the first ring.
"Still no response, I take it."
"No. Can you make out the occupants?"
"One passenger and the driver. It's all I can make out. The windows are too dark. It's a rental. No other vehicles. You seeing the same?"
Allie zoomed in as much as she could before answering.
"Yes."
With all the cameras and safeguards they had in place, how could this happen?
"Time to call Justin?"
She considered the option. The sheriff of the local police department was the only person on the island who understood their real story. He was an invaluable ally who'd come to their aid on more than a couple occasions the past few years. She bit her lip and watched the SUV.
"Let's give it a couple more minutes. If they don't drive away, I'll call him."
She disconnected the line and tightened her grip on the phone as she willed the SUV to drive away.
"Who's here, Mama?"
She jumped at his voice. So engrossed in the mysterious vehicle, she hadn't noticed Jaden entering the room. Allie drew in a few breaths and calmed herself, before plastering on a smile, glancing over her shoulder at her son and the two dogs who'd become his steadfast shadows. Large, pale green orbs, currently double in size, stared past her at the screens. The sharp edges of his collarbone peeked out from under his shirt collar when he craned his head to study the SUV on the monitors. Barely over 4 feet, 2 inches tall, the little guy leaned his head back the closer he got to the images secured on the wall above him.
"Mama, who's that?"
She shook her head when he asked her the same question a second time.
"I don't know," she mumbled.
"I bet it's Bai." His face lit up. "Maybe he's finally home."
She rested her hand on his unruly brown curls, wishing the same. He idolized his big brother, called him Super Bai half the time, and with good reason. Raza would do anything for the little kid, and his departure hit him the hardest. She glanced behind her at the screen. As much as they hoped for Super Bai's return, her gut screamed it wasn't anyone super. He'd have called, not sat idle outside the property. The driver's side window lowered, revealing a piece of cardboard large enough to hide the driver. Allie inched close to the monitor and squinted to see around the barrier, but the brown divider blocked her view and grew as it moved closer to the camera, obstructing her view of the persons behind it. The hair on the back of her neck rose. An icy chill washed over her. She called the second person on her speed dial.
"Jaden, you know what you need to do,"
she muttered as she waited for the call to go through.
"But go."
She shot him her "it's not up for negotiation" look and placed the phone next to her ear while waiting for the call to go through. His bony shoulders slumped.
"Okay,"
he mumbled and walked away. The one-word response dripped of disappointment. It screamed of his belief that he was old enough to stay upstairs, of his not-so-subtle theory that she was once again overreacting. But through it all was resignation because he understood none of those arguments would work on her. Allie pushed the guilt away to deal with another time, returned her focus to the brown screen and impatiently waited for Justin to answer his phone.
"Zeus, safe room."
The husky-slash-German-shepherd mix whined his understanding of her order, and followed Jaden out the door.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?